Welcome to Ancient Faith Presents. I'm Bobby Maddox, station manager of Ancient Faith Radio. And today I will be speaking with Graham Sparkman, a fifth-generation bluegrass mountain musician who now finds himself on the path into the Orthodox Church. He's here today to talk about his new, unique, and frankly gorgeous CD titled Listovka. Welcome to the program, Graham.
Thank you so much, Bobby, for that wonderful introduction.
So, bluegrass music. Where exactly did you grow up, and what's the story behind your fascinating musical lineage?
Sure. So, I grew up in southeastern Kentucky, in the heart of the Appalachian Mountains, in a very small coal mining town called Hazard, Kentucky. And my family, on both my father and my mother's sides, moved into that area in the late 1700s. I think my father's family moved in the 1790s, my mother's family a little earlier in the 1770s. And so my family on both sides has been in that area for a very long time, and my ancestry is all Scotch-Irish. So they brought with them their love of music and also their love of whiskey. That's probably why we have Kentucky straight bourbon today. But along with that, of course, their faith as well. And so we can trace on my father's side 5 generations unbroken of mountain musicians, singers, and instrumentalists, and at least 3 generations on my mother's side. And of course, it could go back further than that, but that's as much as we know. And when you're raised in East Kentucky, by and large, being raised in a musical family means that you sort of come by singing and playing music just almost by osmosis. So actually, my memories of picking up guitars and singing predates, you know, my conscious memories, really, because my father was playing guitar to me when I was in my crib, or so they tell me. So if you grow up in Brazil, you might, you know, learn to walk as you're kicking a soccer ball. But, you know, if you grow up in East Kentucky, you're probably going to grow up singing and playing music, just part of the culture.
Tell me a little bit about the church you grew up in.
Sure. So the church of my ancestors in East Kentucky was a denomination of Protestant Christianity called the Old Regular Baptist. And that's one of the older lines of Protestant denominations in the region. It's a very unusual branch of the Baptist faith that only exists sort of in that pocket of the mountains. They have a very unusual style of worship called lined out hymnody, which is very ancient. They don't believe in musical instrumentation. It's all a cappella singing, no emphasis on harmony whatsoever. So that's the church of my ancestry. However, in the 1970s, there was a charismatic renewal revival that was, by and large, Pentecostal, that was sweeping not only Kentucky, but most of the nation. And Kentucky was no exception. My parents at that time were in their late teens, early 20s, and that very much affected them and many of their peers, and they ended up breaking away from their more traditional Baptist roots and forming a very charismatic Pentecostal, although it was non-denominational church, and that would have been the atmosphere in the church that I was actually raised in.
I don't know if you're aware of it, Graham, or if our listeners are, but Father Andrew Stephen Damick just did a really fascinating documentary on Old Regular Baptists. He is the author, of course, of Orthodoxy and Heterodoxy and is interested in the various Christian denominations. So if you're interested in learning more about the Old Regular Baptist faith and what kind of things went on there, I'd encourage you to check that out under the Roads from Emmaus podcast. I believe it was the October 10th, 2017 episode. So, Graham, what was it like to be, I know it's not Pentecostal in denomination, but Pentecostal-like, so what was it like to be in that tradition in the Appalachian Mountains?
Very interesting question. So I would say that the church that I was raised in had a big emphasis on the heart, on emotions, sort of a de-emphasis on theology. In fact, theology was almost looked at as being something that was man-made and therefore, by extension, anti-God or anti-Holy Spirit. So, you know, things were very much Holy Spirit-led in terms of the sermon, the service, the worship, etc. And, of course, I'm oversimplifying, but that was kind of the atmosphere that I was raised in. And then when I got into my mid-20s to late 20s, I started migrating away from that branch of Christianity. I had a number of influences at that time. In particular, my wife's family, the family that I married into, they were also making that same similar migration, although they came from a very different part of the country in the United States. So during that time period, I found myself researching and reaching out to a branch of Christianity that offered deeper theology, more historical continuity, and I was very inspired to gravitate towards this and learn from this, and that's really what kind of set me on that path.
Yeah, so what type of churches were you going to during that period?
Yes, so ultimately I ended up in a conservative branch of the Presbyterian Church, PCA, and that was my first real taste of corporate confessional prayer. You could call it like an abbreviated liturgical prayer, but it sort of turned the whole thing upside down for me, because at that time in my life I was disenamored with the whole megachurch thing and the format for modern contemporary worship being, you know, a stage format, and, you know, we call it the lights and the smoke and all that kind of stuff. And so I was gravitating towards a more intimate experience where I could focus on the timeless, eternal truths of God without all the distractions of the modern format. And so I was going very much in this direction. Also during this time period, I visited some of the old regular Baptist churches of my ancestors and learned how to sing in the old regular Baptist lined-out hymnody style, both in terms of cultural preservation, because that's something that's very unique, not only to my lineage, but just in general, and also because I felt like that format for worship where you don't have a stage format, it's just focused not on first person in the way I feel, and but on a more timeless, eternal approach to God. So again, I was moving in this direction all along.
So was that PCA congregation that you belonged to, was that sort of the bridge to the Orthodox faith? How did that work?
Yes, in fact, I can pinpoint it to a particular event in the Presbyterian Church. So I was in the choir. They had a very, very good choir, large choir, and the choir director selected a piece of music by Arvo Pärt for us to sing in this Presbyterian church. And wow, many folks who are listening to this program know Arvo Pärt, know that he is an Eastern Orthodox Christian, that he comes from Estonia, and he's one of the most important composers of our day. And the choir director selected Arvo Pärt's Beatitudes. And we as a choir, and this was a good choir, by the way, we worked at this song for weeks and even months, and the choir could not get their head wrapped around this piece of music. It was so atonal in places and dissonant, and they just could not pull it off. But for me, internally, it did something to me. I was so moved by this piece of music that I wanted to find out more about this Arvo Pärt, which subsequently led me to research Orthodoxy, because I discovered that he was an Eastern Orthodox Christian, and that was really the big segue into Orthodoxy for me.
Wow, that's pretty amazing. We've featured podcasts many times on Arvo Pärt, and people like Dr. Peter Buteneff and others at St. Vladimir's Seminary have really championed his music and have done a lot of presentations of that music, so I'm sure our listeners are very familiar with his work. And speaking of music now, let's talk a little bit about your CD. What is this CD that you've created? We'll start with the title. What does Listovka mean? And then tell me about the project as a whole.
Sure, absolutely. Would love to. So Listovka is Russian, and it literally means steps, like the steps that you take. But it also means a Russian Orthodox Old Believer's prayer rope. We have, you know, your general prayer ropes in Orthodoxy, but the Old Believers, the Russian Old Believers, would actually refer to their prayer ropes as listovkas. And so, of course, on the prayer rope, like any prayer rope, you have knots, or in this case, leather loops, which you can pray. And as you go across those are like the steps. So it's just a beautiful concept to think of prayer in terms of walking, or like a journey through prayer. And so when I thought about this album and I thought about how that concept related to this album, I just thought it fit so perfectly, because this album is a concept album that chronologically parallels my own Christian spiritual journey into the Orthodox Church. So it's one album with three parts. Each part is made up of four individual tracks. And I say it moves chronologically, and what I mean by that is the first part focuses on the most early Christian music that I grew up hearing in the mountains of southeastern Kentucky. So this would be your bluegrass gospel, your holiness Pentecostal music, and southern gospel. And then you'll hear bells that come in, And the bells were actually recorded at the Hermitage of the Holy Cross Monastery in Wayne, West Virginia, thanks to the blessing of Abbot Seraphim. And I got to go down there and record the bells. So the bells symbolize a transition from one part of the album into the next part. So now you're into the second part of the album, also made up of four tracks. This section of the album focuses on, as I said before, where I was at in my faith in my late 20s, early 30s, where I was migrating into a more conservative branch of Christianity with deeper theological roots, more historical continuity. And so this section features the older Appalachian hymns that I was listening to, like What Wondrous Love Is This, Guide Me, O Thou Great Jehovah, The Cherry Tree Carol, these hymns that my ancestors brought into the southern Appalachian Mountains at the close of the Magisterial Reformation. And you'll hear the bells come in again after those four tracks, which gets you into the final section of the album, which is the liturgical selections of the Eastern Orthodox hymnography. And so that's how the album works. It's meant to slowly take the listener on a journey through music.
Fascinating. Well, probably the best thing to do at this point is to listen to a few of these hymns. So let's start with a hymn from part one of the CD. What should we play?
So this is Touch the Hem of His Garment. It comes right out of Scripture, but it really epitomizes, I believe, the quintessential Pentecostal mountain sound. It's not an up-tempo song. It's a little bit slower, but it just has, for me, when I researched different songs to pick, it really has that mountain sound to it. It was written between 1950 and 1954 by Reverend Glenn A. Rice, who was a traveling holiness Pentecostal preacher in the Big Tent Revival era. He was originally from the Oklahoma area. And the Spencer family, who's a well-known Southern gospel band, recorded this song in 1984 on their album called Moving Out and kind of introduced it to a little bit of a larger audience. But it's well-known down in my region, and it's called Touch the Hem of His Garment.
All right, so here is Graham Sparkman singing Touch the Hem of His Garment.
If I could just touch the hem of His garment, if I could just touch some part of His robe, I know I'd be healed, my sins all forgiven. If I could just touch Him, I know I'd be whole. Hey, woman, one day tried many physicians, but daily grew worse in the Bible, we're told. When she had heard, she came to see Jesus, and she found what she needed for her body and soul. If I could just touch, just touch some part of His robe, I know I'd be healed,
I know I'd be healed,
my sins all forgiven. If I could just touch Him, I know I'd be whole. Sat by the wayside begging, nobody to help him down life's weary way. Then Jesus came by and He heard his sad cry. He reached out His hand and He that day. If I could just touch the hem of his garment, if I could just touch. Just touch him, I know I'd be whole. One day I sat by the wayside begging, nobody to help me down life's weary way. And he heard my sad crying. Well, he reached down his hand and he healed me that day. If I could just touch the hem of his garment, if I could just touch part of his robe, I know I'd be healed. My sins all forgiven. If I could just touch him, I know I'd be whole. Yes, if I could just touch him, I know I'd be whole.
Once again, that was Graham Sparkman singing Touch the Hem of His Garment from his new CD titled Listovka. How did you go about choosing the hymns for the first two sections of the CD?
Well, you know, it was an interesting process. It was some trial and error involved in the whole thing. It's always better to start out with more, in my opinion, and then whittle that down to what actually makes the final cut. So I started with a great number of songs from my youth. I hadn't said this before, but my father was actually in a Southern gospel band in the 1980s, and they were actually a very successful band. They had a record deal down in Nashville, Tennessee, a great big touring bus, and I spent a lot of my childhood on the road with my father's band in the 80s, early 90s. And the name of their band was The Cornerstones. So, you know, I knew that I wanted to pull a couple of songs from my father's band as they wrote a lot of their own original material. But I felt like I wanted to also pull songs that featured the music of the region and focus more on that kind of broader context. And so I did start out with several and kind of whittled that list down. And that was actually true not just on the first two sections, Bobby, but throughout the entire album. I did that also on the final section with the liturgical hymns, started out with many more, you know, and then as the process unfolded, ended up kind of selecting what would ultimately make the final cut.
Very good. Well, why don't we listen to a track from part two? What do you have for us here?
So, yes, this comes in on the middle section of the album, and I will say this just very briefly, that obviously we're picking three songs for the sake of this interview, and that's completely appropriate. However, it will seem a little bit disjointed hearing just one song from each part. In order to really appreciate the album, of course, you would have to hear the whole thing from start to finish, and then you would get more of a sense of continuity and flow. But that goes without saying.
Yeah, of course.
Somebody jokingly once said to me, you better make sure that folks don't have this thing set to shuffle when they go about listening to it, or else they're going to be really confused, which is probably the truth. But on the second part of the album, track six, which is What Wondrous Love Is This, and this hymn, as I talked about before, was one of the classic hymns that was brought over with my ancestors into the Appalachian Mountains, and it's been in the mountains for a very long time. I was very influenced by a version of this song that was recorded by Jean Ritchie, and Jean Ritchie is from my home county. She's from Perry County, just as I am. She recorded this song in 1977 on an album called None But One. So, taking inspiration from her version, And also going in a little bit more of a sparse direction with the central part of the album, the middle part where the songs get sparser, they get a little bit more mystical, and I think that kind of sets the stage perfectly for the final section that's to come.
Okay, here again is Graham Sparkman.
I'll sing on.
All right. Once again, that was What Wondrous Love Is This, sung by Graham Sparkman. And Graham, I understand that for this third part, the great composer and expert on Russian Orthodox music, Vlad Morrison, who actually has a podcast on Ancient Faith Radio called Sing to the Lord, that he helped you out on this third part. How so?
That is correct. He was a tremendous help. Actually, I was put in touch with him with a friend of mine who's an Orthodox priest down in Nicholasville, Kentucky, Father Justin Patterson at St. Athanasius Church. He said, you just need to talk to this guy. And actually, I found out there's a video. I don't know if Vladimir Morrison posted this video himself on YouTube, but I discovered it, whoever posted it, of Vladimir Morrison directing a choir with an original composition that he did where he took a Orthodox Paschal hymn and made it fit within the musical context of Appalachian, almost like in a shape note singing style, which is a style of singing that's known down in my region. And I just thought to myself, I've discovered somebody who is singing my song, so to speak. I mean, somebody that's like on my same wavelength here. I got to talk to this guy. So I reached out to him, and he was amazing. I told him what I wanted to do, that I wanted to take a few pieces from the Russian tradition of liturgical music, and I wanted to have them translated from Slavonic to English. And I wanted to sing them with only four people, despite the fact that these songs were probably written originally for choirs of 80 or 100, you know, large choirs to sing. But I wanted to have that intimate sound of only one soprano, one tenor, one alto, one bass, and see what these songs would sound like when we take them from Slavonic to English. So to my knowledge, and I could be totally wrong about this, the Sacred Love, which is one that Gregory Sviridov wrote, I think it's the first time that maybe it's been even recorded in English. But back to your question, Vladimir Morrison did an outstanding job in translating the text as well as doing the musical setting and notation so that it would work. And I couldn't have done it without his help.
Awesome. Let's hear a track from this final section. What are we going to play here?
So this is actually the Cherubic Hymn, which many listeners will be familiar with, not only the hymn, but this specific arrangement of the hymn, which is by Alexander Kostorsky, who obviously was a Russian music teacher, theorist, composer, choir conductor. Upon the first few times that I visited an Orthodox church, I heard this arrangement, and it just profoundly impacted me in a very deep way. On my recording, you're going to hear Amanda Combs, who's from my hometown of Hazard. She's singing soprano. Elena Plovsik singing alto, I'm singing tenor, and Andrew Munn is singing bass. This is the Cherubic Hymn.
All right, here we go.
Oh,
Well, that was just beautiful, Graham, and I really appreciate you sharing not just that track, but all three tracks from your new CD titled Listovka. Is the CD already available for sale? And if so, what has the response to it been like thus far?
Yes, it is available, and I'll tell you where folks can maybe get it here in just a few short moments. But the response has been, glory to God, wonderful, which is positive. Everyone, and of course, when you sell a CD, especially online, you know, you don't always get reciprocation in terms of people responding back. But the people who I know personally or the people who've worked on the project who've heard it have, by and large, across the board, they have all said that they've really appreciated it in all its various different forms. And one thing I want to say here real quickly, since it's on my mind, is, you know, this album is quite honestly so weird because it's got such a hodgepodge of different music on it. I don't expect that everyone's going to like necessarily the stuff that comes on the beginning of the album or in the middle. But this album, I think, would appeal most to people who are interested in an album with narrative, with a strong sense of story and narrative. And that's what it really seeks to accomplish, is to tell my journey through music in an artistic way.
Yeah. And then what is the best way for listeners to find and purchase the CD?
So it's up on iTunes currently. So if MP3s are good for you, you can go and download the entire album there. All you have to do is go to iTunes and type in my name, which is Graham Sparkman, G-R-A-H-A-M-S-P-A-R-K-M-A-N. And the album title, again, is Listovka. That's L-E-S-T-O-V-K-A. If you're a music nerd, such as myself, and you want the higher quality lossless files, you can, for a limited time, get the FLAC files at cdbaby.com by typing in the same thing, just Graham Sparkman, G-R-A-H-E-M-S-P-A-R-K-M-A-N. And again, that album title is Listovka, L-E-S-T-O-V-K-A.
Great. And Graham, if you will send me those links via email, I will be sure to include them in the description of this podcast episode. Is there anything else you would like to add before we conclude here?
Yes, Bobby. In fact, you know, we've talked a lot about what this album is, and you've been nice enough to interview me and feature a few of the songs from the album. I think very briefly, I want to talk about what the album is not. I think an album as unique and, quite frankly, as strange as this might deserve a little bit of explanation, just so it's not misunderstood or so that I'm not misunderstood. Because it features a variety of different Christian music out of different Christian traditions, I am not trying to make a statement, or I'm not trying to say in a very neo-modern and relativist kind of way that all of these expressions of Christianity are essentially the same thing. Whatever works for you, just go to the church of your choice. I mean, honestly, I don't think that I would have been drawn to Orthodoxy to begin with if I had that disposition. So I'm certainly not trying to make that kind of a statement by putting this album out. I'm simply trying to tell my story, my journey, artistically, through the vehicle of music.
Well, that's a great point to make, Graham, and I appreciate you doing so. And I also thank you so much for joining me today.
Well, thank you, Bobby. I really appreciate your support and your interest in my project from the very beginning. And it is truly just an honor to be able to speak on Ancient Faith Radio.
Once again, I've been speaking with Graham Sparkman. He is the singer and musician behind the new CD, Listovka. I'm Bobby Maddox, and this has been a listener-supported presentation of Ancient Faith Radio.